At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and Nate.
Sorry, man. I'm sorry.
What are you fucking sorry for?
No, it won't happen
what are you
again.
Fucking sorry, for?
Sorry, I handed you headphones that didn't have a jack.
Ever have me things without the proper jack in them again.
Sorry, gaffer. Won't happen again.
Come here. I was trying to think there.
Come here to me now.
Where did we stop?
Good question.
Yeah, I know.
We had just viewed the first car. So this episode is called The Car Part 2. Now, if you follow me on social media, you will know that I already have a car now. But who cares?
No.
Forget
no.
that.
Jesus Christ. Who cares about the destination?
Who cares?
It's like, I know you went on holidays. I can see the picture of your beautiful holiday. I want to know what happened during the holiday.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So where do we stop?
We stopped at...
If you got your phone there.
Yeah.
To get out and play the... Oh, no, sure. Do it here.
No, do you know what?
Have it on the... literally on the computer in front of me. 1 second. Hold on.
Okay. You let me know now because I don't have headphones.
Oh, yeah.
I can't hear a blooming thing.
Oh, the blooming thing. Hello!
Just this jazz music, this sexy jazz Hello. Music in the background.
Little big episodes. Episode, what was it, 204?
204, baby.
Hello! Can you hear me?
Okay, that's where we're stopping the story. How about this is part one? Sorry.
How many minutes are we?
27.
You got a good. Because you're in the middle of nowhere.
You're in the middle of nowhere.
There's not a lot of people around.
Not a lot of people around.
Because it's a strange time.
Did we talk about key in the car?
Cars. Yeah. This guy swings open a door and starts hobbling towards us.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh yeah. And then we finished on the guy who was hobbling over towards us from the 7-seater area.
It's absolutely terrifying.
Do you have a wife? Come back to me when you have a wife and kids.
I think I'm infertile, sir.
I'm the wrong person for you.
So that's car number one we saw.
Car number one. Then I look over at you. And I think to myself, is this it? Maybe some people aren't supposed to drive cars. I have put all my eggs in one basket.
Pretty crap basket.
I wanted that keyed Polo, but it just wasn't good enough. It didn't pass the test.
No, and they had no interest in us either. Very bad sales.
So you said, Graham, let's go to another place.
Yeah, very boring Friday, so I did. So I said, let's try and find the nearest car lot to us. Now, very awkward place to get to from places because you're just off the motorway and you're going onto the motorway back in junctions and southbound, northbound, city centre. But we managed to go to another one and...
It was right beside a petrol station.
Right beside a petrol station. It was a bit shite.
It was horrible, wasn't it?
Shite. Well, do you know what? It was shite for what we were looking for.
The cars were nice.
They actually had some very nice cars, very expensive cars.
Yeah, Jeeps.
Jeep is a funny thing because Jeep is actually a make of car. It's a make of 4x4. So it's a Jeep is like a Volkswagen. And people call Jeeps anything they see as a 4x4 a Jeep, but it's not. That's actually incorrect.
What about a Range Rover?
Yeah, people will call a Range Rover a Jeep, but it's not. That's like calling a Jeep a Range Rover. A Range Rover is a Range Rover and a Jeep is a Jeep.
So a Jeep is a company's name?
Actually, a company's name. It's kind of like Lynx. Have you got any Lynx? Well, I've got some Spray, which is probably Shure or Dove. Don't have any Lynx. Oh, no, that's what I meant, Lynx. It's a Jeep. It's like Hoover.
I say Hoover.
But Hoover is a brand.
It's a vacuum cleaner.
Vacuum cleaner. Ironically, not many people have Hoover Hoovers. A lot of people would have... I have a Nulfisk.
Do you?
I have a Nulfisk.
When you moved into your place, was there already a Hoover there?
Yeah. When I move into the next place, I'm getting a brand new Hoover.
Are you?
I hate shit Hoovers.
But there could be a brand new Hoover already in
that place.
Well,
if it's a brand new Hoover, I'll use that Hoover.
Yeah.
But if it's a Hoover, I might want to get an Ilfisk. We actually have a Hoover in the shed.
Do you?
Yeah. In our house.
Okay, so it's fair to say we were there for a few minutes in that brand new car place. Here, just drop me home, Graham.
Get out of here.
Thank you so much.
We're done.
I was so stressed out. I didn't realise how sick I felt with the possibility of driving this keyed Polo that smelled of cigarettes with a stranger on a motorway. I cannot tell you how exhausted I was afterwards.
Can you liken it to anything? What was the nearest thing in your life that's happened that made you feel that way?
Good question.
Because this is, now you might be listening to this a week break, it might be a month break. Nathan, I told Nathan the way out, the original plan was I would drive it out and Nathan would take it. But then I saw where it was and I had to test drove a car there before and the person comes with you. And I said, there's no point me coming with you because one, COVID, and three people don't know each other in a car. Well, two, we don't know the other person. And three, more people in the car is going to make you more nervous.
I would say the adrenaline pumping around my body, if I was to describe it as an experience. Do you remember many years ago, you and I had to ride the Cú Chulainn coaster?
Yes.
In Tato Park, yes. It's a wooden roller coaster with an inversion. Do you remember?
I remember it well.
I was wearing a tank top. I had dog tags. Extremely nervous beforehand and I felt sick.
I remember beforehand as well I was nervous, but not because of the roller coaster.
The
Why?
Camera, the GoPro.
No. Do you remember what was around Tato Park that day?
Dogs?
Irish Greyhounds. They're called Irish Greyhounds?
Yeah.
They're massive.
They're very sweet.
Because Cú Chulainn had an Irish Greyhound in the mythical story. He had one of those dogs.
Didn't know that.
And I remember... I was like, oh my God, these are massive dogs.
Now, you're into roller coasters. What did you think of that?
It was a good roller coaster. Wasn't anywhere near the best I've ever been on.
We were worried because we had to attach a GoPro in front of us.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think Paul Banas was also with us and he was strapping the tape around.
Yeah.
And my worry was, I'm doing this one time. I cannot do it a second time.
Yeah.
So if during the experience we look over and the GoPro has fallen, I don't know, you might need a body double or something.
Where did the fear come from heights and stuff like that? Because I can track where my fears come from. I can get them down to where it began and the reasoning behind it. Mm. Any reason why the heights is your thing?
No.
Did anything happen as a child?
No.
Or were you on a roller coaster and it stopped or something like that? Or a fun fair and you had a bad accident or got sick?
I do remember a bad accident when I was younger at a fun fair around Dunleary that I fell down a slide.
Okay.
And I got badly cut on my knees and I cried a lot. But it was my fault because the person said, I will tell you when to go down. And I didn't listen and I fell down. And I think if I had listened to him, he would have been there to have helped.
Yeah.
My fall, but I just went willy-nilly. I remember my granny was screaming, being like, this was your fault, to the person working there. And you know when you're just quiet thinking, no, it's actually my fault. But
I fell down. Did you ever tell me about the time I fell down a fire pole?
No.
So it was similar enough. It was, what's the place in Lucan called? Fort Lucan? Is it Fort Lucan? It's a massive playground, but it's a place you pay into. It's huge. And I was up at the big slide as well, but there was a fireman pole in the middle. And I was young, I was only about 5 or 6. And there's a queue to go down and slide. And I kind of stepped out to look down. And some girl goes, hey, get back, you're trying to skip the queue. And I wasn't trying to skip the queue at all, but I was like, oh yeah, sorry. But in me going back, I went too far back or something like that. And I fell down the hole and smashed my head against the pole. And I was knocked unconscious.
Oh my God.
And next thing I woke up inside the offices there. And ice on my head and stuff like that. Yeah.
Do you think it affects memory loss?
Probably. Yeah, very bad memory. But also got knocked down in a Gaelic football match as well, where I got pushed over. But like, just a normal game push. But I fell over and then smashed my face in someone's knee. And then I couldn't remember a thing.
That actually wasn't too long ago, was it?
About 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
2 or 3 years ago. I think 3 years ago. It was my first year playing for Ranelagh. So it was 3 years ago.
And didn't you do the show the next day?
Sunday. Yep. I came in on Monday. Probably shouldn't have been there. And I was dazed for a week or two. Yeah. Wow. Concussion is mad.
Yeah.
So you're saying the feeling of driving the car out was similar to that of going on the Cú Chulainn coaster, an experience which terrifies you.
Terrified me. So I was back in my bedroom, lying on my bed, disappointed.
But relieved?
Relieved as well. So it's a cocktail of emotions. But then I said to myself, Nathan, get a grip. Don't just stop it there. You got to continue on with your journey. Reminds me of the driving test you only found out this morning. I failed the first time.
I remember that. I thought you passed.
No, I failed the first time. I'll tell you why. If you're listening to this and you're about to do a driving test, there is a vicious rumor that when you're reversing around a corner, if you bang the curb with the tire, automatic fail.
Yeah.
Not true.
Okay.
That was the first thing I had to do on my test.
First or second test, sorry?
First test.
Yeah, okay.
I banged the wheel against the curb. And I went, well, what's the point? Finishing. It's an automatic fail. Mm. I've already failed. I just want to go home now. So my head went down. I know you said, oh, you know, when people tend to think they've failed, that's when they do their best driving. Not for me. I wasn't even obeying the rules. I remember I was loose. I just didn't care. I didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
I think I even said, here, we just go back to the center. There's no point continuing.
Yeah.
Did terrible. Like, I honestly forgot this memory. I was telling you how I had to indicate right in like a sort of yellow box junction to get back into the test center. And I think I just started to drive the car even though a car was coming. I didn't have enough time.
Oh, shit.
Honestly, the head went, oh, just bring me home.
Head's gone.
Head's gone.
Head's gone.
And then my examiner grabs my steering wheel and said, no!
What?
Genuinely forgot that. It was so bad. And he goes, Jesus, you nearly had us killed. I went, well, I assume I failed. And I did fail.
I wonder, is there, like, in the, like, a teacher's staff room, but a driving instructor's staff room going, Jesus, just in the shite I had out this morning.
Yeah.
This tall lad nearly killed me. Do you think that's bad? This fella nearly knocked over some old woman crossing the
Must
road.
Must be so stressful being an examiner.
Because you're in a car with people who are probably at the worst point they'll ever be driving.
Yeah.
When you think about it, first of all, they're nervous. And secondly, this is their only a few times driving a car. For the majority of cases. A few cases, people have been driving since they were young and they know how to drive. But the majority of cases, people are shite in their tests.
Hmm.
I would hate to do that job. Because I'm a very bad passenger. Only person I'm a good passenger with is my dad. It's the only person.
Great Everyone, driver.
Great driver. And my mom too, actually, a very good driver. So the two of them, I presume because in my head, I'm like, well, they've driven me everywhere my whole life. It's fine. Anyone else, I'm looking for the brake. I'm holding on to the door. I am. Yeah, I'm looking forward to all the free lifts you're going to give
Oh,
me.
Brother. You're where are you in
gonna,
for an experience.
Where are we going to go? Where are you going to start
where
driving
Where do you want
to
go? The radio awards.
Oh, brilliant. You will be able to, when we go to La Hinch in a few weeks, you'll be able to drive.
I don't know. I was actually saying that to Sean.
Oh.
I said to Sean.
Listen to this. So, for the two guys who gives them, I'm looking forward to this excuse, who gives them the most lifts anywhere around this city and country, and was very helpful in helping
with
him buy,
the knee.
Buying a car.
And the
car. And the knee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's the excuse that you can't bring us to La Hinch in a few weeks?
Oh, I prefer Sean's car. It's a lot more comfortable for everyone. I assume we're going to just be driving in one car.
We might need two cars.
Well, if we need two cars. Just Sean's car is so comfortable to be in. Have you sat in? Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
And we swim.
But if Sean says no, it's fine.
No, I said to Sean and he goes, oh yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely what?
He'll give a lift.
He'll drive.
Yeah.
Lucky boy.
Day. Lucky boy.
Radio awards when they're back in Kilkenny?
Yeah, don't mind. I'm indifferent. I don't really like the radio awards, if I'm honest with you, as the years have gone on.
Breaking news.
I don't mind saying it. It's I used to get so drunk at them because I found it really awkward. Because there's a lot of people in the field that I don't have a lot to say or something. So I used
You are Nathan O'Reilly from the radio.
Yeah, I know. I just find those events kind of awkward. I think it's not like a wedding, but it feels like it's a wedding. You're having a meal.
Mm.
You know, you lose people because it's a big venue.
Well, if you're looking for me or Sean, we're usually in our hotel room drinking.
Yeah.
Because that's what me and Sean do.
No, and I know why you do that. Initially, I remember thinking, that's so antisocial. But you find, as the night moves on,
it gets a bit overwhelming.
It becomes very overwhelming.
So you need to step away and have your own crack.
Yeah, a bit of quiet time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I always go to the room. Especially because we stay in the hotel and then you go down and you see what's happening and then you realise, oh, I go back to the room now.
Did you have to stop yourself from drinking at a point, Joe?
Yeah. Always do.
Yeah.
Because you are drinking from early on. You drink from early, but you probably start drinking around 5.
Yeah.
So I tend to stop drinking around 11 or 12. I try not to drink past 12, not into the early wee hours. Because I like to get out. I don't like hanging around. But we have to get out of the room by such a time. So then you have to go somewhere. You have to drive.
Yeah. Didn't you have a sauna the next day?
Oh, yeah.
I went down. A little victory sauna.
Victory after we won rated breakfast show of the year. Went down by myself. I said, later, losers. And I sat in the sauna and jacuzzi and went for a swim by myself.
Was it nice?
And it was fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was class. But I wasn't hungover because I knew I was driving.
And you had a bit of quiet time to yourself.
Oh, I needed some quiet time just to think about things.
I remember you said you sat in the sauna and you had a conversation with yourself.
Well done. You did it. You won an IMRO, finally. And then we won 3 last year. Hey,
that's good.
How many will we win this year? That'll be next week's chat.
Who knows?
Oh no, that'll be the week after the chat.
Now, why I bring up the driving test was when I failed the first time, I remember my immediate reaction was, well, I want to take a break. I will not be doing the second test for a long time. I think it was my mum saying the worst thing you could do now is take a really long break and not book a second test because you're fresh. You know what you did. Mm. You know the bad things you did. You might as well book it immediately again.
Waste more money.
I was like, okay, I did that and I managed to pass.
So what was the difference this time?
Difference was I realised I did one pre-test around the area, which really helped. But also the same thing happened to me again. I clipped the curb and I reversed around the corner. But I said to myself, keep going. Yeah. You're absolutely fine.
Let's not try and kill someone this time.
Let's try and not kill someone. And I really did a good job and I passed and I was delighted. And it also helped, I think, I went the second time with friend of the podcast, The Gaw.
Go on, The Go!
So the first time I went with my dad.
Go, go!
And he was stressing me out. I remember my dad was saying, okay, you got to do this and everything. And it didn't help me. It made me more stressed. Andrew beforehand said to me, do you want to grab a bit of breakfast? Do you want to relax? He was like, man, if you fail, who cares? Just book another one. It really calmed me down.
That's true.
Got me to where I wanted to go. So I was lying on my bed. Went on to Dundeal and I saw a Golf. And I kept saying to you, Graham, I want a Volkswagen Polo.
I will take a bit of blame for the Polo because I was the one who suggested the Polo because I think a Polo is a solid car. I think a Golf is a better car. But I just thought that within your price range that you were looking and the year that you were looking for and also the fact that you're so used to driving Becca's Aygo, that Polo will be the next step up and you'll be able to get a newer Polo for the price range you were looking. That's why I thought the Polo. Now, I will say, when I saw you sit inside the Polo...
Holy shit!
And how far you put... I was thinking to myself, ooh, maybe the Polo isn't the right one. But I think you were... In my head, you were like, oh, shit, he's so into Polos. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to say anything now.
Oh, look, as soon as I sat into that smoky Polo, I looked at the back and I said to you, well, no one else could sit behind me or behind the passenger seat. It is tiny. It's smaller inside than the Aygo, genuinely. But I'm on Dundeal and I come across a Golf 2010. Good price, lower than the Polo.
So this is the thing. So 2010, we were looking at 2010 and 2011s. And I couldn't get over the price.
Now, the problem was why the smoky Polo was, what was it, nearly $8,000.
Yeah, that was
why it was nearly
$8,000
was because the mileage was so low. Yeah.
So for a 10-year-old car, there was only about 70-something thousand kilometres on it.
Yeah.
Which is feck all.
For a
10-year-old car. But then the Golf was a lot more. It was 140,000 kilometres on it.
Yeah.
As I said to you, you got to average out. Think about it. You're not going to get that. That's a rarity. People drive cars between 10,000 and 15,000 kilometres on average a year. So that's when you put in for your insurance and all that kind of stuff. So if you multiply that by 10 years, that's 100 to 150. So you're smack bang in the middle of that. Like, I would drive maybe 15 because I drive back to Mayo once a month or 5 weeks.
So I called up the ad. I said, I'm interested in your Polo. He said, it's a Golf.
Oh, sorry. Yes,
I was like, oh, God. I said, can I view it tomorrow morning?
I want it now.
Because I didn't want to say, I'll ring up my friend Graham who just dropped me here and see if he's doing anything. Too much to ask.
Too much to ask.
So I went the next morning with the roommate, Sean, friend of this podcast. And same thing, he was quite chilled. He gave good advice. He said, you know, the thing with cars, man, everyone has an opinion. And he said, it's probably similar when you're going to, in the future, try and buy a gaff. Everyone is going to have an opinion. Dave Moore, he's also a friend of this podcast. Sean said when he was viewing his car or going for a test drive, he brought Dave. And Sean was asking about the car and Dave said, look, man, at the end of the day, do you enjoy driving it? Okay, a car, as you said, Graham, it's potluck. There's going to be problems along the way. But are you enjoying driving it now? And if you are, go for it. Because problems could arise.
And problems will arise.
But you might as well go for a car.
As long as you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because you have to, Jesus, because there are going to be problems. That is true. What I've learned in the last few years is there's going to be a lot of problems. But you have to really like the car.
Yeah.
To really fucking like the car. And if you do, you'll take the problems. Like with this car that I've gotten, I've already spent in less than 6 months €1,400 on this car in problems. But I don't mind. Because I like the car.
You love it.
I love the car. Is it annoying? Yes, I'm annoying, but I'm not letting it get to me like it did with the last Scirocco. As you will, if long-time listeners to this podcast will know, the trouble I had that feckin' Scirocco.
God, do you remember? You would read out the letters that you were...
I took on Volkswagen. Oh, shit, you got a Volkswagen?
Yeah.
What year?
2010.
Oh, shit, same year.
Same year. Was it the same year as the Scirocco?
11.
And what was the problem? The engine?
Oh, the emissions. Emissions, yeah. Catalytic converter emissions and shit.
So Saturday morning, we go into this sort of weird area. What's it called again? What's the official term?
Like the area of Dublin?
No, no.
Okay. I was like, oh, Jesus.
No, no, no.
He goes north of the Liffey and everywhere is weird.
No, I actually love this area. Clonsilla Road.
Yeah.
Really nice area. But
a car lot.
A car lot. Sorry.
Yeah, I
never know the official term. It's like a hut with gravel and loads of cars.
It's space.
Yeah.
It's a space walled. Looks like you could throw prisoners in there.
Oh, God.
Throw a lock on the gate there. No one's getting out.
So we go in and thankfully the guy working there hands me the keys. He goes, go away with the car. Enjoy yourself. So as I said in last
Do you think it helped
episode,
that Sean had a BMW 5 Series rocking up?
Definitely did.
Yeah.
I think.
And did Sean get to drive in or
no,
did he drive where I drove?
He drove outside.
Okay.
But I still think the people there saw it.
Yeah.
But the plan, the same plan that I had with you, Sean drove the car out.
Yeah.
He drove to a nice estate where I could just get my grip with it. And I have to say, really enjoyed the car.
Yeah.
Very smooth. I think I stalled immediately straight away because it was so different to the Aygo.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The only issue was, and we called you, at one stage, Sean got out of the car and I started holding down on the accelerator. And he said, there's some weird sort of white smoke coming from the exhaust pipe. We called you. You were in the middle of moving mattresses.
We'll save that for another week.
It's a great story.
Great story. I was moving mattresses, yeah.
And we asked, here, Graham, any idea, white smoke coming out of an exhaust pipe?
No idea.
No idea. Rang a few people. They actually said, look, it's probably fine. And left a deposit. Now, the problem was this car was going in for an NCT on Tuesday. And the guy said to me, look, if you're bringing a mechanic on Tuesday, once you leave a deposit, you're not getting the deposit back.
Mm.
And then Sean went head to head with him. I was very quiet. It was the bad cop, quiet cop.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Routine.
Yeah, yeah.
I was quiet. I wasn't saying anything. Sean and him was going head to head. You had already braced me saying, when you pay a deposit, you don't tend to get it back.
Yeah, but then you did. Sean did then tell me when we were playing golf, he was saying, because we were discussing this, and he said, no, with stuff that you can still pass, you can still sell on, you're supposed to be able to get a deposit.
I didn't know.
I was always under the impression that you didn't get the deposit back because I thought that's what a deposit was.
Yeah.
A deposit was, you know, you hear of non-refundable deposit. I presumed all deposits were non-refundable deposits.
Yeah.
That's what I just thought. But
Sean
reckons it was different.
I didn't really care that much. But we ended up anyway agreeing. I left the deposit and then once it passed the NCT on Tuesday, I would go to collect it. my good friend Graham.
Hello,
over here.
Hello, hello.
He drove me out there. Now, I had to grab the money in cash.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Oh, that's stressful.
Have you ever so long getting it? I was outside the bank for about half an hour waiting for you to come out because Nathan didn't want to walk through town with 6 grand in cash.
6 grand in cash is a lot of money
on his person. So I said, right, I'll wait outside the bank for you and I'll walk you.
It was like being in a film. I did find it cool. I don't know if you did. Me leaving a bank, you there with your cap, rucksack. Did you feel like we're in like a heist movie?
Yeah, definitely.
But it's especially my own money.
We were walking so slowly and you had a weird, awkward hand inside your pocket, which clearly made it look like you were hiding something.
Because I was also holding my water bottle.
Just give me the water
bottle.
Just put your both hands inside your pockets and hold the money properly.
So then we arrive, and do you want to describe your experience of the place?
So I drive and it says turn left, and I go, how the hell can you turn left? There's no turn left here. And then I go, oh right, this tiny little road. And then you go in, and then honestly, these massive gates, obviously to keep the cars inside, but again, somewhere where you put prisoners. And I was actually watching a program on 9/11. They were talking about Guantanamo Bay, what I imagine Guantanamo Bay looks like, the American prison in Cuba, where they put the suspected Taliban and Al Qaeda detainees. This is what I imagine it looks like. And walked in, gravel, exactly as Nathan said. There in front of us was the Gulf. On our right hand side, a little cabin, and what can only be described as the car version of Fawlty Towers was happening inside this cabin.
Now, I love the way when we walked into the cabin, no one had a face mask on. I decided to take off my face
mask.
Yeah,
you took it off.
Because I just didn't want to offend. Well, you very much had your face mask, and you were nervous going into the cabin.
Me?
Yeah, I felt you had the face mask on.
I wasn't nervous.
Being like, good God, what's going on in here?
I saw a massive fish tank.
A great fish tank,
huge,
in fairness.
Huge, beautiful fish tank. There was a lady who seemed to be the secretary or receptionist, and there was two car salesmen who didn't seem interested whatsoever. Then when they found out that it was your car, one of them went and took it somewhere to get it washed. And
I thought he was doing it, but he just left it somewhere.
He must have brought it somewhere. And then there was another fella who, because we were sitting there, and I was like, "Why? What are we waiting for?
Yeah, what's going on?"
You were trying to sign the logbook. Again, Nathan hates putting his air code down.
Oh.
So we signed the logbook.
Would you know your air code off by heart?
Yes.
And would you?
It's saved it in my phone. Save it in your notes.
Mm.
So then you will lose.
I have a lot of notes, though. I'd be scrolling up and down.
Well, just search air code.
Oh, yeah.
Right, air code.
Yeah.
But Nathan was signing the logbook, handed it back to the woman. The woman goes, can you put your air code in this? And I go, oh, sorry. Just accept that air code is a thing now.
You were having a bit of fun. You started checking the cars outside. You said to one of them.
Oh, I brought one of them outside because it was so awkward.
It was awkward.
Everyone just sitting there waiting for this car, and you were there like looking with a funny smile on your face.
I was smirking.
And I just decided to go outside and I said, hey, how much is this car out here? And I started talking about cars.
And then you start saying, the man in the cabin there, the tall man, he's robbing you blind.
Yeah, because I heard.
It's too cheap, this car.
I heard that. Where you and Sean were discussing the price, that he kept on saying how cheap it was, and then he knocked another bit of money off it. Now, not much, but then I was aware of this, so I wanted to cause a bit of ruckus. So I was like, I can't believe you gave him so much money off. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
Because I know I could have sold this car 3 times today. I go, well, just bloody sell it. Don't be worrying about it.
I'm like, what are you doing?
I was like, don't be. I said, the logbook was signed, it was all done. And I was like, don't be. Well, I can't believe it. I go, don't be. This fella's taking you for a mug.
I didn't realise.
Taking you for a mug.
I didn't realise Sean had promised pastries and coffee.
Oh, yeah, because they thought I was Sean. They go, where's the pastries and coffees? I go, oh, that's not me.
Not me.
Not me. I go, I hate pastries and coffees, and I hate good deals. I go, don't be giving him a good deal. Charge him more. Charge him more. And then I started talking outside about a BMW 1 Series. I was like, oh, jeez, my girlfriend's looking at those cars. Because I just needed to do something.
Yeah, then the car.
Sitting there waiting for what?
The car comes back. My baby!
Yeah, Nathan gets up and goes, my baby.
My baby!
And then we, because you were calling the car my baby on the radio show all week. And then we go in and we sit in. And then the penny drops. The penny drops.
I honestly thought you had said something to your man.
No, I didn't say anything.
I genuinely thought this was a prank.
I would not want that attention.
I know.
Out there at all.
So I get into the car and you're in your car because you're going to kind of follow me
home. No, I'm in the passenger seat.
Oh, are you?
Because when he says it, then I started playing with the radio.
Oh.
I was in the passenger seat and he goes, wait a second. Wait a second.
My baby.
It's the voice. You're the man with the voice.
I go, what?
And I go, oh God, yes, here we go.
What's he
because
talking
the
about?
Thing about Nathan, the difference between Nathan and I, yes, it is Graham and Nathan. Graham, small, plain, and standard Midlands accent. Nathan, tall, awkward, and weird voice. He stands out by looks and his voice.
Oh, God.
So he goes, you're the man with the voice. I heard it. My baby, my baby. When you said that, it clicked. You're the guy. You're the man with the voice.
Do you
the
like
radio.
How I then turn it on to you? No, no. This man, Graham, he's on the radio.
Well, you had no interest in me. And that's the way I like it.
So then you get into your car.
No, I'm there chain. I go, yeah, this is the guy of Spin. Why don't you have Spin on here? And Nathan's like, then Nathan is panicking. Is this why it's going through your head? Let me guess. Because they've decked who you are and you also have to drive the car out.
Yes.
So I kind of jumped on that fear and I was like, why don't you have Spin 103 on here? That's Nathan from Fully Charged. And you kept going, oh, well, this is Graham. I knew that the panic was setting in. I go, what are you talking about? No one knows. Who am I? I'm not. You got the wrong guy. And I start tuning in the radio and putting on Spin. And they're all. And then he goes in to get the receptionist lady out. Yeah. And she was like, no way. Then I go into the car. And then I'm laughing my head off. And I reverse. And I can just see the two of them with their heads in
the
car.
Well, they start saying, oh, you're famous. You're famous. You're the man with the voice.
You're the man with the voice.
We need to get you on our social media.
Yeah, we need a picture. We need a picture.
Back of my mind. Well, hang on. You're getting me on social media. Can we drive the price down a little bit more?
And also, back of my mind, I'm thinking, God, I bet people think we drive 2020 Teslas. Not an 11-year-old Volkswagen Golf got in a bloody prison.
Oh, God.
And then Nate, I just kept on shouting, get a picture with them, he's so famous. And they were loving it. It's mad, and listeners will know.
Oh, here we go.
Listeners will know of this podcast.
No, don't say it.
The Curried Seagull.
The Curried Seagull.
Because they had no time for him when he was just a 6'4" or 5" man sitting there. With trying to buy a car, not putting his air code in. No time for trying to drive down the price. But the second they knew who was the man with the voice. The man with the voice!
It's the man with the voice!
Oh, picture.
Can
smiles.
I get a picture?
Big smiles.
Big smile. Curried must come
seagull.
Back. You must come back.
He must come back. Once he was a seagull, no one cared. Then he dropped into a vat of curry. He came out looking orange and tropical. Everyone's, what is this?
There's another story.
What is this? Oh, okay. Another seagull.
Another seagull.
Fell into some blue dye.
Oh.
And it looked like a kind of a bird you'd get on a cartoon.
Yeah.
And he was like, what is this? Oh, it's just a seagull.
Just a seagull.
And he's pictured everywhere.
Yeah.
The blue dye seagull. I prefer the curried seagull.
No, you
the
did.
The curried seagull himself right in front of me.
You did nearly try and kill the curried seagull when we were leaving.
I will admit,
go.
We were pulling out and we had to turn right and we had to go onto a roundabout. I was very conscious of Nathan, so I was going to lead you home. Hmm. I didn't know that you had Google Maps on. One, because I didn't know you'd be distracted by Google Maps. You also didn't have a phone holder, so I was like, in my head, I go, right, you're following me home, follow me.
I will say I had Google Maps, but the phone kept falling as I didn't have a holder, so it wasn't amazing.
So we were turning right to get out of the car lot, Guantanamo Bay. And there was a roundabout on the right, and I knew that was going to be so busy. So I saw a gap. And to be fair, if it was Sean following me, someone who's driven a while, they would have made it.
Yeah.
I didn't really think that Nathan
would
have been...
What you were dealing with.
Nathan wasn't going to be... you were going to get used to the car. I didn't factor that in. So I will hold my hands up. I didn't factor the fact this is your first time driving the car. I should have given you a lot more space and time. So as I went... Put down my window, hand out, go, come
leading
with me.
Leading me.
Come with me. And then as I looked, I go, oh, I probably didn't leave you enough time. And
I then look left and the biggest truck in the world is going so fast.
You've thrown in a truck. You've thrown in this truck.
Are you trying to kill me in this way? You're trying to kill the voice. The voice will be no longer.
I was jealous that people were noticing you, not me.
So then we go on to a roundabout, but because you're ahead of me, you're already off the exit. I roll down my window. Thank you, man. God bless.
I thought you were rolling the window. I was rolling down my window, waving, going, this is me. This is my car. Follow me. And then I got off the roundabout and I had trained for this moment.
I tell you.
I had trained.
When you're about to tell the next story, I didn't realize what you were talking about when you spoke about this on the breakfast show. But yes, I thought you were driving in the fast lane.
No, no. Well, first, before we get into that, I trained for this moment being a spinny.
Yeah.
When you lose people at lights and roundabouts, you have to drive as a threesome. Your cars have to be together. They can't be broken up into traffic. Now, I pulled over into a bus lane and I indicated, I was watching my mirrors and I waited for you and then I went out again. But then I lost you again and I had to pull over and yada yada. But then we're in Blanchardstown and we're trying to get onto the M50. Now, we're coming up to a load of junctions. And on a motorway, you'll know there's three lanes. Slow, middle, fast. Now, the slow lane, you get in that lane to exit off to the left. Middle, you'll probably just stay in there, right for overtaking. Perfect. Now, when we were going up, it wasn't a motorway, but we were trying to get onto the M50. And then you see seeing the signs in front of you. And you're like, okay, we got to prepare for the lanes we're going in. Left is northbound towards the airport, I think. Middle is city centre. Right is M50 southbound. We need to go M50 southbound. So I start indicating plenty of time. In so much time, I go, okay, indicate from the left lane, because we're in the slow lane, into the middle lane, and then over to the right-hand lane.
The right one, yeah.
I look in my mirror. He's not moving. And I go, okay, come on. I watch him. We're getting closer and closer. He's not moving.
I'm not moving.
But in the time of him not moving from the left to the right, cars have started now to fill those lanes. So he's still in the left. Cars have in front of him, in between us, and behind me now. And I'm thinking, he fucking thinks I'm going into the fast lane.
That's what I thought. And I went, shame on you. Shame on you, boy racer in the fast lane.
Did you just think it was going to be one straight road all the way to Dundrum?
That's what I thought.
So stay in this left lane and that was going to bring you home.
I tell you.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Did I face the ugly truth?
And then, when did it deck in your head that you had to get into the lane?
I think I saw a sign.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, right.
Oh, shit.
Because I feel like a driver who belongs in the slow lane. You can't stay in the slow lane. You have to know your lane.
You can't. And because Graham, that lane is be used for people to get off the motorway. So people are trying to get into that lane. You should be staying in the middle lane.
You must know your lane in life.
Middle lane.
The problem is, we live in a life where people, or in a world where people, they're trying to chop lanes all the time.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane.
Okay.
Stay in it. But so, be careful when cars are trying to get onto it.
How did you find getting from left to right when there was traffic all making the same move at the same time?
Very scary. Very scary, because also I don't know the car too well.
Yes, fair.
I cannot tell you how nice the car is to drive. Honestly,
I'm not finished talking about the drive home.
Oh, well, then I was very happy with myself. You left me.
No.
Stranded.
I waited for so long.
Did you?
Oh, my God. I go. Okay.
Where were you?
Because you had waited so long, I waited in the slow lane for so long. But, like, you wouldn't catch up. And I was, and I'm telling you.
I couldn't, Graham.
I was telling you.
There's so many cars in front of me.
I was going 60 kilometers an hour on the M50.
Damn right.
60. And you wouldn't catch up. You just said, oh, I'll just match Graham's speed from about 5 or 6 cars deep. Even though it's at the point you were directly behind me. I was like, just speed up. Speed up and catch me. And then I'll guide you home. I will guide you.
Were you going to bring me all the way home?
Yes, I was going to bring you to the Dundrum exit.
Oh.
So I was going to bring you fucking nearly the whole length.
I didn't fucking see you.
And then.
You bombed on ahead.
No.
You bombed
I waited 10 minutes. I waited 10 minutes with you, and then I realised...
Did you see me at the back?
I could see you all the time. And then I started to realise, it's so busy here. I keep looking in my rear view mirror for you. I'm going to cause a crash myself. Because when I'm going so slow in the slow lane,
yeah.
And when I'm looking out for you, and I'm getting annoyed because you're not making moves to catch me.
Now, what does it sound like in your car? Are you swearing at me?
It's not anger. It's more, come on.
Do you call me an idiot at some
stage? No idiot,
like,
not an idiot. Because I know you're getting used to it.
Yeah.
So I'm not actually angry, but I'm like, go. Go.
Go on.
There's a space. Go.
Would you be so proud of me out of nowhere if I just floored the accelerator?
No, I'm not saying floor, but just catch up. Did you not think, okay, could you see my car up?
I could see your car.
Did you not think in your head, whoa, it's so strange he's staying in the same lane and going so slow as he usually abides by the speed limit perfectly?
I thought that was the correct speed limit, if I'm okay. honest with you.
And then at one stage, I just go, right.
You went off.
I go, if he can't make it to Dundrum from here. And then I started to go, right, when has he driven before? I go, okay, he's made it to the M50. He's made it off the Nace. He's come in from the M7, N7. He knows the M50. He knows how to get to Dundrum from the M50. And I go,
Were you worried? Were you panicked?
No.
I know you were having a nice sandwich with Claire.
I was like, come on.
When you were eating the sandwich, did you think?
Not one bit.
I hope he's home.
Not one bit.
Sorry, Claire, actually, stop.
Say, stop the music, Nathan.
Stop.
Stop that jazz music. Silence.
Claire, I need to message Nathan just to make sure he's okay.
I thought you were going to apologise to Claire for holding me up so long.
Why would I apologise to Claire?
Because you were so slow and I was late.
Claire understands.
It's half an hour late for my sandwich.
What was the sandwich?
It was chicken and lemon something something.
Was it nice?
Yeah, it was lovely.
Then I sent you a message when I came home.
Yeah.
Hey man, I'm alive.
Don't care.
Go home safe.
I was with you for 7 hours that day. Now I'm with Claire, so my phone goes away. I like to, when I'm with somebody.
Oh, I like that.
When I'm with somebody, you get my attention.
What do you think about those people if you're a meme for a coffee and they have their phone out?
No, you can't have your phone out. Face down.
Face down.
Face down. Because if it's a call and someone needs you, you'll see it vibrating, take it. But I don't want you looking at your phone. I don't want you reading messages. I want attention. If you're with somebody, the attention is on that person. We're getting older now, so we're not meeting people as much.
Yeah.
Not going out on wild parties. So when you're with people and you're hanging out, attention.
I just want you to tell me that I'm a good driver.
I
think that's what I want in life now.
Me?
Yeah. I think
why me?
Because I think you're like the tough dad.
You think you're a good driver now?
I think I've become a good driver.
Okay.
I think I have. I know you think I'm shit.
I don't. I've never seen you.
You saw me this morning. You didn't wave at me.
No, I put it
You didn't wave at me once again. Graham. He doesn't message you and then you drive
such
by.
A lie.
You drive by.
This is such
I
a
see
lie.
The
this
man who
lie.
I'm about to do the
this
show
is such
with.
A lie.
My dear friend.
You know this is a lie.
I wave.
You know this is
I
a lie.
I wave at you. Morning, brother.
No. I saw you come around the corner.
I beeped
and
the
I
horn.
Thought, and I said, oh, I bet that's Nathan. And I put up my hand, my left hand, I put up. I go, all right. And then as he's coming around, I go, shit, it's not. And I put my hand down.
Then I beeped the horn.
Because I didn't think your number plate was D.
Yeah.
And I go, it's the right year. Oh, it's not D.
Yeah.
What?
No, you're right.
And then I put my hand down and then I went in and then you went beep, beep, beep. And I go, oh, it is you. And I go, oh, how are you? Stop lying.
I'm not lying.
You are lying.
Why would I lie?
You saw me put a big wave at the beginning.
It wasn't a big wave.
It was.
And then you felt bad in the lift. When I came in, I went, hey guys, good morning. And you said,
well, that's fucking a lie because I wasn't even there. I was upstairs making my breakfast when you came in.
Yeah, but when you came down, you went, sorry, I didn't know it was you.
Yeah.
And I went, disrespect.
Oh, yeah.
Don't disrespect me on the roads.
Right, well, Nathan has a car. Fair play.
I have a car. Car part two. I have a car. It would be a dream of mine to drive you to a trip.
It would be an honour.
I would love to drive you to Lahinch.
Oh, geez, I wouldn't want. Actually, do you know what? I'd rather arrive safe.
Graham.
I'll go with Sean.
Just before we go, what if I give you a journey?
Give me a
okay?
driving tip.
What if I give you a trip, okay? Not a tip, a trip. I drive you somewhere and I am so shit. How would you break the news to me?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean fucking awful.
What are you doing?
Like, I'm veering off in the wrong. At one stage, I'm driving on the completely wrong side of the road.
I think you know exactly what I'd say. I'd say, pull the fuck over and let me get out.
Would you?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd get out of the car. I think you would just tell me what to do.
No, I think I would. If you were. Sorry, okay, hold on a second.
Okay.
If you were driving down the wrong side of the road, I think I would ask you to pull over and I would probably ask, let me drive home.
What if I've become a really good driver, but I'm aggressive and I'm rolling down the window a lot? Move it, fucking hurry up! Would you say something to me or would you think, I'm in his car, it's his rules?
If you're being aggressive, it's your car, your rules.
Really?
If the way you act is fine, that's your car. For me, if you're a bad driver, you're putting my life on the line.
And also, what if you were in my car and it honestly smells of shit?
Well, I'll tell you.
Would you say?
Yeah.
We're learning here.
Yeah,
we're learning. Any emails? Are we getting emails?
No, we gotta go.
Okay, email address grahamandnathan@gmail.com.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation.